We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Okay, welcome to part two of our little show. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. The second Monday of the month, we talked to Dr. Mark Cercas. He's down in Brazil. We just haven't figured out some kind of fly in the ointment, if I can use that term, for his internet, whatever it is. It's something that's not working to do the video, and I kind of blew it. I was going to help him to do it, but yeah, it's okay. But things happen like that. So we will promise you by next time, it's going to be the way it's supposed to be. But right now, he's on Skype audio. Dr. Cercas, can you hear me okay? Thanks for your patience.
I can hear you just fine.
And I can hear you just fine. We'll get a picture of you. Sharon will send me. We'll put that up. So, my goodness. What are you most passionate about this moment in your life that you think might be interesting to our listeners around the world? You're down in Brazil. You're an Oriental medicine doc. We're right in the middle of God knows what this whole financial corona thing is. What's your just big overview now of what you, the way of the world? What are you thinking about?
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of thinking about, but what I'm being, myself personally, my life is starting to move towards more spiritual, more meditation, more yoga, more prayer, and kind of like I haven't watered the garden in years. In the last few days I've been watering at least the front of the garden and feeling it's a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Or give you another example. I have a guy been working for me for 6 years, 7 years, and we finished my house, and so I've been building him a house and paying for most of it. And he ended up, you know, buying a piece of land next to his wife's father. And about a week or 10 days ago, it almost came to shooting.
Really?
And well, the guy did shoot off a gun, but, you know, not at anybody, but it got very nasty, family nastiness. And my guy, he got really broken up. I mean, he couldn't tell me the story without crying. Here he was just finishing the house, and all of a sudden he didn't feel comfortable even living there right next door to his wife's father. So I said, you know, so he was really broken up. He wasn't sleeping. He looked miserable. He's, you know, one of these guys. He has a huge heart, but like everybody, it's, you know, kind of under control with most people. He keeps it to himself, but shows it to me occasionally. So what did I say to him? I said something that I was doing myself. And, you know, I have his neighbor when I bought this land from. He even tried to steal my 10 years ago when I was building. And, you know, like a war for many, many years. So I made short, you know, I hear he has cancer, he's dying. And I started hearing he's my biggest enemy, and I started praying for him. And it felt really wonderful to pray for somebody, your enemy.
yeah.
Of course, I have to do that with Bill Gates and all his friends, but that's from a distance.
Oh, right.
Here's a guy, a neighbor. So I told my worker, I said, look, I said, you can't afford to be destroyed by this. You can't, you know, if you're going to shoot him, you better give me your gun to hide. And so I said to him, start praying for this guy. Go to Mary. I'm kind of a follower of Mary, and not that I'm a Catholic, but I have a shrine here for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and, you know, feminine principle and all that. So I said, pray to her and send him, you know, pray for her, get her help, and start sending him good energy, the person you want to shoot. And he did. A couple days later, I went back to him. I said, how you doing? Are you practicing? He said, yes. And I feel much better.
Really? So okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And this just ties into what my wife just said to me. You know, she said to me she was glad that I was moving deeper back into my own spirituality. And that's what we need. You know, going back to what you said, this is such an insecure time. Mm-hmm. It's like impossible to make plans for the future.
Yes.
Everything is colliding, and things that we thought were stable are becoming unhinged, and insecurity is probably going off the Richter scale for millions and millions and millions of people. Millions. And it's probably really more accurate to say tens of millions or hundreds of millions who are being affected around the world, or even billions. By the end of the year, for sure, billions. So it's, what do we have? You know, the only thing that's really, you know, constant, that doesn't change, is our spirituality, or our God, or our contact with our own being,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
our heart and soul. You know, these parts of ourselves, in a certain sense, are indestructible, meaning, you know, the light of the universe is coming at us, you know, drowning us in its light 24/7, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, we're dying, a comet comes and crashes, there's no food. But that's constant. It's mm-hmm. the one thing that's constant.
Yeah.
So.
Good for you. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, your question is just, you know, maybe what our focus should be talking about today is everybody's in the same, not the same boat, but, you know, something, you know, bad things are coming to some millions sooner than others, but I don't have to tell anybody how the whole world is being affected, you know, how these politicians are just, I mean, I could say some dirty things, but, you know, they're just lusting after this new power and telling people what to do, and who gives a shit about the United States Constitution anymore? It's like, United States, well, we should burn down the past, and everything was bad until now, and all these kind of communist Black Lives Matter people, you know,
yeah,
man, oh man. And I'm here in the... I'm not in the middle of it. I'm here at the end of the world.
Yes, sir.
But I have to swallow it every day in the news, and everybody else is doing that.
So
it's really...
Yeah, so you can, I guess you can really...
Difficult moment.
Yeah, I guess you can really relate to our listeners who are not in the middle of the jungle and maybe in a city or, you know, outside a city like I am, and in the United States where they're just kind of really... in the belly of the beast here with the election coming up and all that. So I guess you can really relate and have compassion for what they're going through.
Oh, yeah. No, it's painful. It's just painful. It's painful. It's painful to feel the suffering of others.
Yeah.
And, it's not that I'm starting to feel the consequences down here. I mean, prices are going up, rice shot through the roof. And international sales, you know, my company, it's very weak right now, very weak. So
let's go back to the prayer. I'm curious about the process when you're doing for this person. How did you go about doing that without kind of infringing on their beingness of who they are?
Well, as far as interfering, it's just a psychic thing, and it's just positive energy. So I don't see how that could use the word interfere or hurt.
It would only do that if you wanted them to do something or to change them or to do...
No.
Which you don't do, right? It's just... You would send them how would you do it? Would you imagine them and just send them love? How do you do it?
Well, I put it in my meditation. I put it into a specific slot. Mm-hmm. The slot is, part of my life or what I've accomplished in my life and how I started spiritually 40 years ago, whatever, mm-hmm. is seek first the kingdom of heaven and everything will be given to you.
Right.
So I meditate on that because I did that and I got everything. I have such good fortune in every sense that I look at that part, and then because I have everything, I've been given everything, it's a very generous space I get to next, which is, okay, so I got everything. Now what am I going to do? Well, according to 40 years ago, I'm supposed to do greater things. And I've been wondering about that for years, uh-huh. what those greater things I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, what could they be, right?
And I pretty much settled on trying to love the world or everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets hard sometimes when you read about people like Bill Gates. And
sure.
You don't have to explain that. But it's a challenge. Not so easy to love the whole human race. And then just about a week ago when I heard, or 10 days ago when I heard that he had cancer and he was doing very bad, in that generous space, I said, oh, let me send him some good energy, whether it be to heal or to die peacefully and to have a good transition or be surrounded by whatever it is. But just, it's like a generous moment in my heart, and so I give it to him. And if just for a few seconds, of course, I'm not. But it's a good feeling. It makes me feel good about myself.
Yes, very good. Excellent. I didn't know that. Bill Gates has cancer?
No, I'm talking about my guy, my next door neighbor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you there. Okay. I see. Excellent. Very good. Very good.
I mean, he doesn't live next door. His land is all around me. And it was until this past year, it was always something with him. So it's... And people are getting more and more excuses to do things like that because, like in the United States, it's like getting to a point of civil war. I mean, one side against the other. And people doing rioting and hurting other people and threatening other people and... So everybody, on one level, not everybody, but a lot of people are being traumatized and need to forgive just to survive spiritually.
So do you think you get the idea that that you and I and our listeners, and no matter what where we are or where we are spiritually, that there seems to be a call to action, Dr. Circus, for us to change and to grow and to survive this.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Do you think?
Right. 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 Totally right. It's the only, I mean, there is no choice. You know, it's like going down the rapids in the white water. Hmm. Once you get the boat moving, you got no choice but to go forward. So if you're going to go forward, we need to go forward in the, learning, growing, becoming more humble.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
You know, all spiritual things.
Yeah.
Humility. Come on, how many humble Americans do you know?
That's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one for all of us.
Yeah. It's a big one. It's one of my... I come from a very arrogant family.
Oh, really?
I grew up surrounded by arrogance. So, of course, as a young man, I was very arrogant. And throwing that down has been my life's work in terms of spiritually, to be not like my family. And for sure it was not easy. And even still, I lived the life of a pharaoh here, the kind of life I've created. But now I'm here, out there watering the garden. Compared to what I used to be, I'm very humble, I think. If I'm going to think about it, which I don't.
Yeah.
But now I see change, this whole, everything has changed. Well, there's another, a physical change. I'm watering the garden and I'm loving it. And letting my gardener go do some other work.
Mm-hmm. These times, they are changing.
But that's just one dynamic. My strongest dynamic, of course, is my relationship with my wife. That's the strongest thing in my life. And the most important, in my meditation, is the basic principle, love and protect. Love and protect. I'm on the planet to love and protect my wife. We enjoy the incredible love and communication, conflict resolution about everything, going through everything together. I'm totally addicted.
So with your wife,
attached,
with your wife or family, so I kind of hear you, don't want to put words in your mouth, but you don't let loose particles or unfinished business hang out there.
No.
You sit down there and just really talk through it, everything.
Everything.
Wow.
Well, that's,
that's your specialty, right?
You've seen the Daniel Day-Lewis. You remember Last of the Mohicans?
Sure.
Well, I'm that when it comes to a process called, we might have talked about this, creative conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I consider myself a communication psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And though the last thing people on this planet want to do is listen and resolve conflicts through deep listening of the other person's position.
That's the last thing, right? The last thing.
That's the last thing. The United States is the most perfect example of that. It's the last thing.
Right.
So for me, it's the first thing. It's the first thing. There was a guy, Mayo, when I wrote my book, Heart Health, or Marriage of the Souls, I don't know which book it was in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy who said, it was a regular person, just a person, but he talked about brutal honesty. And that's what it takes.
Yes.
Brutal. And to have deep love, you have to have deep listening. The deeper the listening, the deeper the love.
And don't you think it's fascinating, or I do, that what you're talking about here, you can't get more 180 degrees than what's going on in our culture around the world with everything, right? Money, politics, whatever. People demonstrating, abortion, pick it, right? It's all pretty much folks just fighting with each other and nobody really listening at all to each other. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that describes it.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been, and it's gotten much worse when Trump got elected, especially in the United States.
Sure.
His election drove the cliffs apart. Now there's a huge Grand Canyon between the two sides, and it's still getting more and more polarized.
Yes, it is.
Until the election, and then what's going to happen right before, during, or after the election? I hear really bad things.
It's possible.
Really bad.
Yeah, it's possible. We're going to have somebody on Wednesday to talk about her insights into that. And there's lots of the, let's call them globalists, you know, whatever, that for argument's sake, you know, want President Trump out. They're out there right now, Dr. Serkis, selling the idea that, you know, this election's not going to be over election night, and it may be a month, right, before we count all the ballots and the whole thing. You know, just laying the groundwork for... You're making a lot of noise there. You're making a lot of noise. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Really kind of laying the groundwork for a lot of conflict after November 3rd. Like it's not going to end there. Laying the groundwork. Lots of people are doing that.
Yeah, up to the point of civil war. I mean, you know, it's insurrection. I mean, I'm surprised Trump hasn't, you know, arrested a lot of people. I don't know why not, why the Justice Department hasn't gone after Mueller and his team and all these Russiagate and blah, 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 and Ukraine and such a long list of shit. The Democrats have basically said, Clinton says, under no circumstance, I quote, under no circumstance will the Democrats or whatever his name is, this kind of demented guy who's running for president of the United States, under no circumstances will you accept defeat. You know, that's drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah. And a lot
that's
of that
treason. That's treason.
A lot of that,
treason,
lot of that going
treason.
On.
Treason.
So it's.
And there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah. It's difficult then to imagine, you know, what we may be called upon to experience as our families and as ourselves. And I think it's going to take a lot of the awareness you're talking about spiritually to navigate it without getting ourselves hurt or in trouble.
And everybody, almost everybody, is being misled. The whole gestalt of the world is run by the mainstream narrative that's totally controlled. So the information, I mean, there's shows like you, there's, you know, I go to Dollar Collapse 3 times a day. So, you know, I get a good view of all the alternative news.
Mm-hmm.
But the mainstream narrative dominates the world. And whatever it says, that's the truth.
Yes.
To the mainstream. And that will not change until you have a collapse. And it's going to be that, all the lies until the elephant breaks down the wall and charges into the living room. It's, you know, that's not, so people, for instance, you know, one of the biggest pieces of news today, it's not politics, it's not viruses, it's not even vaccines, which is very threatening, and these past, well, we could say since August, the planet has taken a drop down in terms of cooling.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, really. So the ice, just for instance, the ice in Greenland, instead of in August, like there was one day, instead of losing 4 trillion megatons or gigatons or a huge amount, it gained what it would normally lose. And since basically then, ice has been, both north and south, is increasing. I think I live on the same planet as everybody else, and it is still summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be 85 here.
Yeah, it's still summer, and yeah, 85, here we're going into the spring, so it's just starting to warm up, but in many places, including United Kingdom, it's snowing. Canada is snowing. Colorado snows. Three or four states, a lot of snow.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I could run. I could open up a window and give you run down the news. In many places, winter, it's summer. And the lie of the decade is it's warming. We're living in the warmest time of our lifetimes. This is the warmest it's been in my 68 years. I've been alive quite a bit of time. And, you know, when I was growing up, of course, we didn't have the news like we have now. You know, you wouldn't expect winter and summer in the record-breaking temperatures, hot. It's not. It's cold. And they're lying about it. And they know about it. And they continue to lie about it. And so nobody's really preparing for the cold. You know, the cold kills many more people than the heat. And that's a fact, a scientific fact. One of the big consequences, and even without this, we're facing food shortages already in the world for coronavirus and lockdowns, blah, blah, blah. But it's snowing in Canada and in big parts of the United States. It got cold last week. You know, that means they haven't even started the harvest yet. It's summer. Usually you have that in the fall. So here we have another year of decreasing agricultural production because of the cold. Do you see a word of that in the mainstream?
No.
Can we trust anything that the mainstream narrative says?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
So, you have been on the idea that we're really going to go into a cooling for a very long time. This is nothing new for you because you really dig in and look at the sunspots and all that. So you're still on that track, Dr. Serkis.
Oh, yeah. I never see anything to take me off. I constantly look, but I never see anything to take me off that track.
Nothing.
The news has been consistent. For 10, 11, 12 years I've been looking at this and writing about it. The news, the weather, climate, what scientists say, what the mainstream says. We could make a music out of that. Like Old MacDonald Had a Farm, what the mainstream said. You know, and the mainstream is the least trustworthy thing in the solar system.
If you think about that being the source for billions of people to get their news and get an idea of what's going on, right? Billions of people.
Billions, yeah.
Pretty interesting.
I mean, the mainstream. How can you define the mainstream?
I don't know.
One way is how big it is. Everybody in the world who vaccinates, they're participating very much in the mainstream. The mainstream is vaccinate. You're almost a criminal if you don't. And in the future, if these guys, you talked about action. You know, I'm not a revolutionary. I think and feel in that way, but I'm not a get out on the street kind of guy and tell people I need a revolution. Mm-hmm. But if the public does not stop these health officials and these world health authorities and the people behind them, you know, they are going to come out with a vaccine, and they are going to pretty much force it on everybody and make this big. They're just going to keep going, and it's going to be ugly. It's like, you know, like Hitler taking power or the Bolsheviks taking power. These guys are just, nobody has ever taken the power these guys have taken. Telling people, telling Americans what to do, don't wear, you know, wear masks where there's no scientific proof that they're any good for nothing.
Go out, don't go out. Go to work, don't go to work.
Don't go out, which is, let's talk about don't go out in the most basic emotional feeling way. These guys are telling people to get out of the sun and get in the house and stay there when the sun and the vitamin D it creates is one of the strongest treatments for coronavirus. Meaning, if you have plenty of vitamin D, you're not, the studies, nobody's going to die. If you have enough D, you're not going to die. Hmm. Even if you get really a bad case, you're not going to die.
And that's the place to get it, right? The sun.
And so what are they doing?
The sun.
Yeah, the sun. Yeah, of course you can get an injection, you know, talking about doctors, or take the pills and take 50,000 a day for 10 days or something like that. But these guys, I mean, what kind of monsters, tell a whole human race to do something that's going to hurt them? To hurt them. And of course, just the vitamin D is one way of hurting people.
Yes.
I mean, it's to deny them that. We could talk about this for the next 10 minutes about all the things that, you know, the suicide rates going up, depression rates going up, now hunger going up, poverty going up as they destroy the economy and the world's human activity. These guys are monsters. Monsters. Bill Gates is a monster.
Mark Serkis is with us. Dr. Mark Serkis. It's drcircus.com. Is that it, right? Do I have it right? drcircus.com, main one?
Yeah, S-I-R-C-U-S.
Okay, we got to do a little break here. Stay right there, Doc. Good stuff. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. There are so many companies that are vying for your attention these days that want to, you know, promote their products. And that's great. That's capitalism. It's a free market. And you can shop around and do some things. We really feel like we have ends on some really, really, really nice products. And that's how we make our living, thanks to your support by buying some of these products and having a good time with them, hopefully. And we get a lot of reports that you do. Daniel Vitalis is one with the Sir Thrival. Great, great products. And then this one here that I'm going to tell you about, Brandon tell you about it, is Shen Blossom. And listen to what he goes through to deliver a ginseng. You know, you could probably go on Amazon and find 50 different ginsengs, and you have no idea, you know, where it comes from, how old it is, how it's prepared, you know, nothing. So I'm just encourage you, if you want to get ginseng, and generally, there's a lot of, some variables with the red ginseng, the white, and your age, and all kinds of things, but in general, I think it's a pretty fair statement. You could probably do ginseng every day for the rest of your life, and you'd be better off for it. It's just that kind of a root. Very, very powerful. Been around thousands and thousands of years. Very expensive, some of it. But here's how Brandon does his ginseng. Previously with Brandon Amalani of Shen Blossom, talking about our very special ginseng.
And you don't want something that's been corrupted coming into your body, like the ginseng is a super important example of that. You know, when you're using aggressive alcohols and solvents, it has a strange effect with ginseng, in the sense that when you're not only over processing it but putting it in really aggressive alcohols, what's going to happen is that you're going to flip the chemistry on some of the androgenic. Naturally, it's androgenic. It's going to basically protect the telomeres and add life to the body and protect the genetic replication of the cells, but it's also going to boost the androgens and boost the male hormones in the body. But if you incubate it in really aggressive alcohol, it flips those to become estrogenic. Now, estrogens, phytoestrogens, are not necessarily bad in balance, but you really don't want that with your ginseng, especially if you're getting like a really high quality, a really old root, something that's very special. You want to like treat it with care and make sure it's delivering what ginseng has to offer.
Just a short clip from Brandon talking about the way they do the ginseng, just to give you a better idea of where this company is coming from, the quality and the ethics. Brandon and the Shen Blossom link on OneRadioNetwork.com. I've been really having fun with his products. He's got two different mineral products. One is called Midnight Minerals, and that's cool. It's really quieting and for sleep. Things are getting so much better for me. Of course, the hydrogen, I think, is a big deal. But I think these products from Daniel and from Shen Blossom are really helping me. He has the brown rice, the sprouts, you know, those things that I'm doing with the Morley Robbins protocol. He's got some just wonderful products, Shaga, Rishi, goji berries, Shizandra, all very, very high quality, very high quality, and in Myron glass. So if you're going to spend your money, we encourage you to look at people like this that are really doing it right. I mean, just totally out of control right, which is what you want. And he also works with this product that we're getting some very interesting testimonials all on to help with the electromagnetic fields that may be in your life. We're talking with Brandon Amalani about his great product, the Blue Shield. And the Blue Shield is the main product is a cube, and it doesn't block the EMFs as some people think, right, Brandon?
That's correct. It doesn't. It's really about the communication of the device and the body. And what we figured out is how to communicate with the body and amp it up. So it's affecting the cell voltage, it's affecting the intercellular communication. And the most important part is that it's getting the body to stop fighting the EMF, which are repetitive signals in the environment. They're non-native, they're man-made, and the body raises white blood cell counts and attacks it like it's a virus, essentially.
That's interesting. That's very, very different technology from most units around.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This uses multiple scalar outputs, and it's really innovative, the scalar realm, because it's using crystal photonics or light to basically do this digital signaling that creates these longitudinal waves that move through time space and affect the subatomic structures between atoms. So as it moves and passes through your body, it's literally affecting the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual components of what we're made up of.
Well, as you can hear, this is interesting technology, very different. And working on the cells in the body. The Blue Shield, it's on our website, front page, use promo code ONERADIO, little cube, take care of the whole house. They also have a little personal guy you can put in your pocket or purse. Blue Shield, promo code ONERADIO, OneRadioNetwork.com. And Brandon is just a wonderful guy, and you can hear him, and he's very really into it. Now, you can go on his website. Go on, click through our website, if you will. And, you know, I'm not suggesting you just go and buy this thing, but really do some research and dig in. He's got a lot of links there, a lot of research, testimonials, and it may be something that you'd want to invest in if you have cell phone towers around your house, if you run Wi-Fi, which we don't recommend, but maybe you have kids and, you know, they would revolt if you turn off their Wi-Fi. I just let them revolt if it was me, but, you know, it's up to you. But it's very hard on the body, these Wi-Fi. But this will help you. And so it's a nice product to think about. Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Circus. He is in Brazil, drcircus.com. I want to tell you, I've been hanging out and doing some shows with, you know, Morley Robbins, the magnesium guy?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And we did some hair tests and some blood tests, and it's pretty fun working on some balancing out some minerals. And I have to tell you, just with 3 or 4 days of really pumping up my magnesium with oil and drops and you know, taking a little bath, and My body really, really likes it. Is there like a limit? I guess you can't. You can always do too much, but.
Well, no, you can't. The only measurement of too much is it gives you diarrhea.
Really, that's it.
So if you don't, that's it. That's it. Your body will limit. I mean, of course, if you eat your body weight in a day, you know, you'll kill yourself.
Sure.
And that's the case with anything. But it is really the only thing is if you don't want to sit on the toilet too frequently, when you get to that, they call it bowel tolerance, then you back off a little bit and then your body get used to it and you can stay at that dose.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if you do it more frequently during the day and you take it when you're eating, then your body will be able to take more. And what you're saying, what your experience is very important.
Yes.
Very, very important.
Yeah. I can feel a settledness, I don't know, just less loose particles when I'm sleeping. Just my body is just more settled in a little bit. Does that make sense?
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
You know, and for the everybody who's listening, everybody's magnesium needs has gone up in these last 6 months, or 7 months already. You know, stress, and you know, you have to be living in a cave, and I almost do live in a cave, and I still feel the stress of the world.
Right.
You got to be totally cut off from everything to not feel what's going on to the race, to our society, to our civilization, and the direction it's going in. You got to be, you know, blind, deaf, and dumb.
So, Dr. Serkis, it's pretty much baked in the cake when we react to the world, which we call stress, when we react to it. It depletes magnesium on all levels?
Yes, yes, yes. You more stressed out, the more you need magnesium. Simple logic, medical logic. You know, the harder the more mountains you climb with a car, you know, very steep, the more critical your oil situation is. It's kind of like that. And, you know, so all the people who are sleeping less, all the people who are taking pharmaceuticals. Well, most pharmaceuticals drive up the need for magnesium because they deplete magnesium. All the garbage food that we eat strip the magnesium. So it's a, I have a thing I have to write. I'm not sure the title, but it's, but basically is, the idea is what diabetic doctors don't want you to know.
What diabetic doctors don't want you to know.
The fact is people, you know, general physicians who deal with, you know, diabetes, you know, what they don't want to come to terms with, and same thing with heart, you know, cardiologists, is that magnesium is the number one primary, most necessary, you can't go around it, treatment for diabetes.
Really? Wow.
That, you know, and of course, and of course the symptoms of diabetes and the symptoms of magnesium deficiency are, I'm going to have to use an adjective, they're the same.
Wow.
They're the same. You could put down lists and they're very similar.
So it's all intertwined.
Similar to almost identical.
So it's all intertwined with the insulin levels, blood sugar levels and all that.
Yeah, magnesium is necessary for insulin production. It's very critical for insulin shape, the shape of the enzyme. Same thing with red blood cells, very sensitive to magnesium levels. They're crucial there to maintain the proper shape of red blood cells. So, and magnesium is also crucial for insulin receptivity on the cell wall.
Wow.
So no matter how you cut the pie, cake, or whatever you would, you know, magnesium is crucial. So where do you start? Well, medicine doesn't start anywhere. It starts in some other universe and comes back only with hurting energy, because they will not, and this is again the mainstream narrative, will not deal with the flat-out reality that magnesium levels are that crucial, and the minute you get into metabolic syndrome, going towards diabetes, the doctor should already be, you know, massively prescribing magnesium. Because it's that clear. I mean, it's really clear to everybody that if they don't drink water, they're going to die. It's clear. Nobody can negate that, that we don't need the water. We need air. We need water. Certain things are just crucial, and it's self-evident. Hmm. And that is the same story with magnesium. It's the story. And that's why people who, like, you just upped your magnesium, what? You feel something.
Yeah, in two or three days. I really upped it, though. I mean, I really just did three or four different sources and just said, well, I'll see what this stuff does. And you could feel it. I mean, I can feel it. Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I like that magnesium.
That important.
Yeah, I like that magnesium bicarbonate. Like the magnesium bicarbonate you recommend. I have some of that. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good product, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
And the more you need it, the sicker you are, the stronger it is, actually.
Yeah.
Like hydrogen. Yeah.
I bought a big bucket of magnesium chloride, like a gallon bucket. So I can put that in the bathtub, right?
The flakes or the crystals, sure.
I got the crystals and also the flakes.
Yeah, you can put in a single one-person bathtub. You could easily put in 2, 3, 4 pounds.
Whoa, really? Of the flakes.
You know, I have a double bath, and I put in 2 pounds of bicarbonate. No, excuse me. I put 2 pounds of bicarbonate and usually 2 pounds to 4 pounds of magnesium. And if I was dealing with a very sick person, I would even put more magnesium. Like the sea. The sea has lots of magnesium. Lots.
When you say bicarbonate.
So you want your bath to be in.
Yeah. I'm sorry, are you talking about baking soda? Okay.
Baking soda.
Okay. What does that do to the magnesium? Make some magnesium bicarbonate?
No.
Why do we put baking soda? What's the benefit there?
Well, it's the same way as drinking it. You know, if you need it, you know, it's medicinal. But it just makes sense, even if you're not sick, it's still taking a bath in alkaline water, which means also oxygen, you know, it's water with higher oxygen content. It's all going in through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's very healthy. It's a nice. So if you're doing therapy, you do bicarbonate and magnesium in the baths. Bicarbonate costs, you know, you buy 50 pounds. What is it?
Yeah, you can buy
$1.50 a bath.
Those big bags. I think they even have those big bags at Costco here in this country.
Yeah, sure.
I believe they do. Yeah, those huge bags of baking soda. So you mix that with the magnesium, and you just hang out in the bathtub for as long as you can, huh?
Right.
Where does the magnesium store, Dr. Circus, in the body? By the way, if you have a question, comment, you can call. I think the phone is working. Friday it went out. We had a big rainstorm. Oh. Okay, well, still got some noise, but you can call 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com for Dr. Mark Circus. So do we build up with taking magnesium where we would eventually take less and less? How does that work?
Well, most people, if you have not been taking magnesium reasonably aggressively before, the chances are just about 95% that you're magnesium deficient.
Wow.
It's almost impossible today, if you don't take magnesium, to not be magnesium deficient. And you can say the same thing with inside the body bicarbonate deficient. The older you get, the more bicarbonate deficient you are, because the stomach, spleen, or pancreas and the kidneys don't produce as much. If you live in a toxic world, you need more than the body can make. In terms, what was the original question?
Where does it store in the body, and do we eventually can take less?
No, I would probably say you'd always keep thinking more.
Well, just keep thinking more, huh?
More.
Wow.
Yeah, just think, now's the time to think more. Now, people, you know, if they can't, you know, should be buying 50 pounds of bicarbonate and lots of magnesium. I've stored up a lot. Because I can't imagine running out of magnesium, and yet the world might, you know, get so choked and collapse that you can't get it. So to have 3 years worth of magnesium, well, what am I going to, if the world collapses, what am I going to do the next 3 years? How will I live without magnesium? So it's always more.
Always more.
What's your source?
Yeah, I know you're serious. I understand. Do you have a source for our listeners of what's the most affordable way to buy these big bags of magnesium? Do you have a source, or do you sell it, or what would you recommend?
No.
The most reasonable.
Well, in terms of baths, big quantities,
big quantities.
Dead sea salt, which is good, but it's not so pure.
Okay.
You got Himalaya salt, is not so high in magnesium, but it's pretty good in baths. you got Epsom salt, which is okay. It's also very inexpensive.
Yeah, pretty inexpensive.
And then you got magnesium chloride, which you can more easily buy in quantity. Well, Epsom salt you can buy lots of quantity.
Sure.
But then you get magnesium chloride. That's the best form for baths. Dead sea salt is magnesium chloride. There's some products from the Great Salt Lake, but that's also a very high mercury area.
Oh.
Then you have industrial produced magnesium chloride, which has a lead content to it. Not high, but
you don't want that.
It's not the purest thing in the world. And then you have this stuff comes from the Zichstein Sea underground in Europe, which I use, of course, for oil. And that's really is as pure as you can get, is Zichstein Sea. Magnesium oil, magnesium bath flakes. And nobody sells big quantity unless you go, you know, start buying shipping containers. You can buy, you know, good sized bags, but not big quantities.
Right. On the magnesium chloride, I got pharmaceutical grade. That should be good, right? Pharmaceutical grade?
Well, no, pharmaceutical grade is industrial produced.
Is it?
It's industrial.
Oh.
It's not from a natural.
Oh.
So like anything industrial, there's always something added. And in the case of, you have like 0.05% lead or some, I don't remember the number, but yeah. It's nothing, you know, if you don't have any other magnesium except industrial, fine. It's, you know, 100 times, 1,000 times better than not taking any magnesium.
Right.
But when you compare it to a magnesium oil from the Zichstein Sea, of course, even then, if you take that oil and process it and make crystals, it's not going to be as pure, you know, 100%, because the magnesium oil that's pumped up from underground Europe, the only thing that competes with it in terms of purity is clay, underground clay from a mine.
What's the name of that company?
And that's it. The clay I've been using...
No, the magnesium.
Living...
The magnesium, sorry.
Wait. The good stuff.
Ancient
Minerals has been the company...
Oh, Ancient Minerals.
Ancient Minerals. I have in my hand from Life Flow. I come from iHerb. I buy from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company, I don't have the bottle in front of me. Glass, blue glass bottle with magnesium oil in it. So, but it's also Zichstein C, you know, purity guaranteed, blah, blah, blah.
How much magnesium oil would you have to put in a bath to have some...
No, forget it. Too expensive.
Too expensive,
it's
yeah.
It's just not worth it to
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I bought here, and so maybe I'll just use it if maybe I won't get it again if I didn't get the good stuff. This is on Amazon. It's by Earthborn Elements in Oregon, 100% pure food grade magnesium chloride, a gallon. So that might not be the best. USP Pharmaceutical. USP Pharmaceutical Grade. USP Pharmaceutical Grade, 100% pure food grade magnesium chloride, orally or in the bath. You can use it.
How expensive is it?
It was, let me tell you, for a gallon, I paid $50.
That's cheap.
Yeah, but it's hard to know if it's got goobies in there that I don't want, right?
Yeah. Well, probably for the bath, it's fine. Well, for anything, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the magnesium area, the magnesium oil, we just have, like in clay, we just happen to be fortunate enough to have something that doesn't exist on the surface of the planet anymore. On the surface of the planet, there's nothing pristine. I don't care if you go to Antarctica or, well, here or Antarctica or the North Pole, you know, there's places that are much more clean than others, but nothing pure. Mercury has polluted the whole world, every square inch.
That's why the clay you like is from a fellow, we know him, what's his name up in, we need to get back in touch with him. We used to promote his products, and he had a hard time with his business. What was it? Was it Living Clay?
Living Clay.
Yeah.
The last I knew from 10, 15 years ago was a woman, not a man.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you still get that Living Clay?
Yeah, I still use it. Great way to start your day with a glass of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Yummy, 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 yummy. It's very, so pure, tastes clean. This magnesium oil, so pure, and it helps. We need some purity to counteract all the impurities.
Yeah. So what does the clay do when you take it first thing in the morning, the living clay?
Well, clay, for me, is like the foundation of detoxification. No matter what kind of detox or chelation you do, you want to get rid of heavy metals or chemicals, or just make sure the chemicals that you're eating every day, and the food, and the is going through the intestines and out.
Hmm.
It helps things. Because what is the science of purity, or the physics of it? Like a sponge that has no water in it, it's totally dry. It's super hungry for water, will absorb a lot of water.
Michael,
purity, something pure like clay,
yeah.
pulls the poison to it.
To
like
it.
Like a lover's embracing.
And then you
gets
just...
gets it out of the body.
And you just poop it out. You just poop it out, huh?
Right. And it helps. It better forms stools. I mean, the whole... It's healing for the intestinal tract.
I haven't taken that for years.
You can't lose.
Yeah. Michael King is who we used to work with. Is that the company, Michael King? Living Clay?
I don't know.
You don't know? Mm. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
I don't know.
That's
it's been a long time.
Long time. So I haven't taken that for a long time. Dr. Mark Cirkus is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I wanted to ask, every hair test I've ever had, almost in the last 20 years, I've had really high arsenic. I've never really figured out why. I haven't found the source. Any ideas on how I could help this guy leave the building with Elvis? Go with Elvis, leave the building. I don't know.
Arsenic.
Yeah.
Nothing comes directly to my mind. Of course, clay.
Does it?
Would be well, sure, it'd be helpful. You know, if you purify, you know, because of physics, for instance, if you could, you know, if you fully detoxify from the hips down, the body would be totally pure below, but stay the same in the middle and the up.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to that person 2 weeks later, and all the stuff in the upper part of the body is going to redistribute to the lower part of the body, because you can't... There's laws of gradients.
Just kind of moves, yeah.
Things spread out from the pure, you know, impure to the pure. So clay kind of makes us like a drain, a more powerful drain, moving things out.
Yeah. The name of the company was... Vitality Herbs and Clay, the name of the company. He supposedly had this really cool stuff that was underground, and he actually moved underground. Yeah, I need to call him and see what he's up to. Maybe we'll... I thought it was a great product, but I haven't taken it for years, really.
I stopped taking it for a few years. I've been actually just getting back into taking it now.
Uh-huh. And which one are you using, the name of the company?
I'm using Living Clay. I'm going to look it up right now on my protocol page.
Living Clay.
Hold on a second. Clay.
I'm going to call Michael and see if we can get something going back with him.
Oh, here it is.
Living
Clay.
Yeah.
Living Clay.
Livingclay.com. That's what you like.
Let me go to this. Let me see. I'm going to their site. I just clicked on the link.
Mm-hmm. That looks pretty good.
Living Clay.
.com.
LivingClayCO.com.
Oh, I see. Yeah, LivingClayCO.com.
Been around.
Mm-hmm. And why do you like this one?
Been around forever.
Have you?
It's perfect. That's why I like it.
It's just a good product.
Same. I mean, I don't know if it's the same one as the one you were talking about.
No, but I think it's different.
It's the same idea. It comes from underground. It's a mine.
That's what you want, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and drinking this stuff, which I've been using for 10 years, you know, it's so clean, it's so pure, it doesn't taste like clay, it doesn't taste like dirt.
Dirt?
It tastes clean. Yeah, dirt.
And I think it's fair to say, or true, that animals, right, they'll always find clay just as a survival mechanism, because they know, right? And I've seen dogs will eat clay, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just do it. Correct. They'll chomp it up.
So it's a good thing to start the day.
How much do you do, like a tablespoon? Or
Well, you know, I make a blender full. I put 3 or 4 tablespoons in a full blender,
mm-hmm.
mix it up, put it in a big glass jar, bring it upstairs to my bathroom, and every morning I pour a little bit of that into a glass, like 2 fingers, 3 fingers, maybe 4 fingers,
yeah.
fill the glass up with water, and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, less... The more water you put in, the less strong, and the even cleaner the taste. Of course, you know,
yeah.
you put a little bit in, it just tastes like water.
Mm.
So it's perfect stuff.
And it's pulling things out from, I guess, the intestines, right? Every stomach, small and large, anything
right.
that's hanging out there that mm-hmm. shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And of course, if you're taking... You know, if you take a lot of clay, it might constipate a little
sure.
bit. So then that's a good reason to do lots of magnesium, because the magnesium is doing just the opposite. It's, you know, opening the intestines instead of clay, you know, binding and slowing.
Yeah.
So you... But it's really important. I mean... Millions of people would, over the last 20 years, would have not died. Millions of, would not have died of heart attacks if doctors, these guys who are changing the world now with the coronavirus mania, they've been prescribing it. Millions of people. Millions.
Millions.
Really, I mean, you know, we are living in a time, I guess, on an international level, where what happened in Germany, what happened in Russia, you know, with the Russian Revolution and the Nazis, what they did. You know, this is happening internationally.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Internationally, these people, you know, in 2001, you know, they went after something very small, seemed very big at the time, the World Trade Center. Very local thing. Now, this is nothing local to this at all. No such thing as a local virus.
Right.
So it's, you know, there's some fundamental flaw. Oh, here's big news. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You're going to love this.
We like big news.
This is big news, important news. Is a study was done. I can maybe find it, maybe right here. Maybe. Oh, yes. A small study, admittedly small, suggests that gargling with iodine clears the virus in 4 days.
Oh, the Corona Barona thing. Really?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
4 days of gargling. And they're talking, they used the iodine I would never use for this, you know, which is the one you buy in the pharmacy.
Sure.
And it's not, it's, you know, providone iodine, very cheap. You can gargle it, but you can't swallow it.
Right.
This is what they used. I would use Lugol's for this.
Sure.
Gargle and swallow. And here's, I've got this page right in front of me. It's all the information about it. Of course, I knew this. Well, my medicine knew this decades ago. They used to aerosol iodine into like operating cells and things like that. Anybody who has medical logic, which very few people do anymore because we've been living in a sea of lies about medicine and everything else, but decades ago, you know, scientists knew that iodine, you could put a little bit on your nose, just paint the, you know, the first little part of the nose, that this kills viruses.
Viruses?
For $10, you can buy a straw. You can, it's for $10 or $11, maybe it's $15 now, you can buy a straw an iodine straw, and you can go out in the jungle or in the mountains, whatever, and put this straw into the worst water and sip it, and what comes out is good water.
Hmm. Wow.
The iodine, you know, this isn't a product.
An emailer wants to know. Yeah, go ahead. Finish.
What kind of people, we're out of our minds to trust Fauci.
We're crazy.
Or the head guy from World Health Authority.
Fauci, yeah.
When these guys are playing a game with the human race.
Yes, sir. An emailer wants to know, does Dr. Circus know what's on these cotton swabs that they use to stick up people's nose? Because it really hurt when they did it to me. It's like it stung. There was something on the swab. Do they put something on these things?
I don't know. No. I don't know. I wouldn't go anywhere. I would stay as far away from any of these people, these tests, doctor. You know? If I was living in the middle of this in a city, I don't know how I'd hold it together.
Here's a headline for you. Russia is recruiting 55,000 volunteers for COVID-19 vaccine trials. Oh, good.
I'm going to fly to Russia and sign up.
I mean, let's just be real here. You really can't create a safe and effective vaccine for a virus, can you? I mean, it's never been done, has it?
I don't think it's ever been safe and effective.
No, I don't think so.
And the word vaccine, they don't really, in my book, they don't go together.
Yeah, they're just not there, are they?
It's like inflation. You can have 20% inflation, but they only report 10%. So it's easy to lie.
I got some weird fly trying to eat me. You know, I'm not.
How many people, if you vaccinate 1 million people, what is safe? Only 10 people dying? That's safe? Or 2 people die? Is that safe?
That's safe.
I wouldn't want make me want to take one, knowing that some people die, some people get autism. Some people had lots of other reactions. So is a vaccine ever really totally, totally safe? Like this pure magnesium oil we were talking about? No way.
How do you use the oil? I got some. And do you just rub it on your body and just kind of let it hang out there? It's fine?
Well, what I do these days, basically I've been waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I go into my bathroom, turn on the hot water so it steams up the whole shower room. And right away, I spray my neck, back of my neck, and my shoulders and my chest down into my abdomen with magnesium. The room gets really steamy, and so I want to leave it on 20, 25 minutes. So I'll do my yoga, at least the first part of my yoga, right in the bathroom. It's starting to warm up now, but when it was very cold, this was really nice. So I make use of the time. I get up and right away. And the reason I do that is because I wake up with high blood pressure and usually certain parts of my body, either my rib cage or my back of my neck, is tight. So I go right for the magnesium.
Right for it. Wow.
And by the time I'm doing my yoga or take a hot shower, I have no pain, no.
Excellent. So I guess I could do that. Yeah, I guess I could do that. It's a great thing. I guess I could do that, splash this stuff all over my body and go into a sauna too, right? And just let it hang out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you're heating the body, like in a bath, that's why baths are really nice with magnesium. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dilating, the skin. The more magnesium gets in through the skin, in hot water. It speeds up the process.
Do we have to be aware, mindful of the magnesium calcium kind of balance at all?
Well, for somebody like me, not at all.
Not at all.
In all these years of 12 years of using magnesium, I guess it's been maybe more, probably more, 14 years, I can't count anymore. I only bought one bottle in all these years of calcium.
You just didn't feel a need at all to do it.
Yeah, my diet, I, you know, very cheese, mm-hmm. milk,
yeah.
meat. You know, I got eggs. I have plenty of calcium. The thing most people need to understand is calcium is toxic in the face of magnesium deficiency.
Oh, it is.
Sure. Excess calcium, it sticks to the vessel walls, it gets in the kidneys, you know, starts gumming up the works. Because if it's not magnesium to control it, so you have a relative excess. So it collects in certain parts of the body.
So that has a role in the whole calcium in the artery thing, the magnesium. Hmm. Interesting.
It's going to help.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't chelate calcium. It controls it, you know, on a moment-by-moment basis.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's why sufficient levels every day. You have to have, if you weren't taking a supplement, you'd have to be eating it. And you just, boy, you can eat, how much, you know, spinach can you eat in a day?
That's right. Here's a good one for you. Patrick, I'm curious about you saying I can tell that your hair is actually getting more natural color, and other people have written about the hair turning more natural color with the hydrogen, and I'm wondering Dr. Serkis's opinion of why that is. We're told by George that the main thing the hydrogen does is an antioxidant. How could that be tied in with a more natural hair color? That's a great question, because I was going to ask you that. Doc, my hair is actually, I'm seeing a lot more natural color come in after many years, well, after about a year on the hydrogen, the Brown's gas. Do you have any theories on how that, and we've had other people that are saying that that's happened to them on hydrogen?
I don't think you hardly even need to.
I'm sorry, you cut out.
That is...
Well, you're cutting out.
Hello?
You're cutting out. You're cutting out. Okay, try again.
Try, how about now? Should I sing a song?
Sing a song. Yeah, I don't know.
Am I still cutting out?
No, right now. So the magnesium, or the hydrogen question. Okay. Hydrogen question.
Okay, so the hydrogen question. The thing about hydrogen is that It's the smallest thing in the physical universe. When you flood the body with hydrogen, it gets everywhere. When I say everywhere, tip of your nose to the cornea, to your retina, to tip of your toes, it gets everywhere.
Wow.
And so its effect, its health-giving effect, is everywhere present in the human body, everywhere. So it's bringing health to everything, every I don't even know what the unit of measurement is, nano, whatever. It's everywhere. Same within the universe, in the outer space, it's everywhere. So you would expect things to happen that wouldn't happen with anything else, because they don't get every, it's not a full cover of any other medicine.
It's not getting everywhere.
Magnesium, bicarbonate, iron. Yeah, it's getting everywhere. So where is it getting? It's getting into the skin and the scalp. It's bringing life and health and youth back to tissues. It's a wind that blows you away from old age, away from death's door. So it's exactly what you would expect. Not one of these fad things. You're bringing life and healing kind of energy. So the roots of the hair, it's going to be expressed in the beauty of the, not only the skin, but in the hair.
Excellent. And you, this is not something new for you. I mean, you have books on hydrogen, right?
A couple
books.
One book on hydrogen, and yes, it's me personally and my work and people's results for cancer. About anything. It's if you're going to buy them.
Yeah, your internet's starting to.
Device.
Your internet's starting to cut out.
Ones.
Your internet's starting to cut out. It's probably.
Why don't I call you? Let me call you right back.
Okay. I'm in. We have a picture there on the video, but. If you'd like to get this Brown's Gas machine that we're talking about, it's George, and use promo code ONERADIO. You heard Dr. Sarkis what he said. He studied this for a very, very long time. We're not making any claims here, folks, but if you got the bananas, the cash to do it, it's a great investment. Use promo code ONERADIO. I'm just feeling some really good things with this technology, some very, very, very good thing. So might want to check it out. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com is email if you have questions, but you can click an order on our website, the hydrogen machine. You back there, Doc?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Let's see if we can make it till the end. Yeah, it started to cut out. It was being great for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it started to die on us. So not sure why.
I just kicked everybody off the internet for starters.
Oh, you did. Yeah, maybe.
So where are we going to, we got what, 10 more minutes?
Well, whatever you want. Yeah, you got anything else before we go? What's anything else you think we should cover? We did pretty good today. We did fine, really. Not pretty good. I think we did great. You're always interesting to talk to. So thanks for hanging out with us. How do you do on the whole food thing? We did a show earlier this morning that I'd love for you to listen to, Wanda King and her husband, Danny, and they're in Mississippi, and they talked a lot about homesteading and canning, and maybe they've got me all kind of jazzed up about just canning vegetables, you know, with the pressure cooker thing, and so I think I just may do that. I mean, wow, what a great way to put away food. Phew, man.
Well, you know, we talked about it last time. It was a month ago. And, you know, I just, you know, God just dumped on me. I mean, incredible present, which is a mature fruit farm.
A fruit farm.
I just got a piece of land about a mile and a half from here down. Mile and a half down the river. When I bought it with other people too, each dividing into pieces. You know, I knew the land. It was the land of this guy, Peters, American, who came down here, a big environmentalist. He planted incredible amounts of fruit and then abandoned this place about 20 years ago. And it has these incredible, I mean, the mangoes, I mean, I could feed New York City,
really,
with mangoes, really. But avocados and fruits I've never heard of before, seen before. I mean, a little fruit farm, and I'm just building a house now down there, and we've been cleaning out the kind of the jungle that got. We call it Matu here. You know, lots of plants that are not fruits. So I'm cleaning out a lot. So talk about food, in a time of the world where we're going into food deficiency or food insecurity, I got this thing dumped on me that's just going to, I'm going to be a fruit farmer.
Little gift from God, just out of the blue, hey, just one of those, here you go. Wow.
Just like that.
Well, good karma,
I mean,
baby.
I paid almost nothing for it. And riverfront.
Wow.
And so, I mean, there's no words. I mean, how many? But a real fruit farm.
How many acres? How big is it? How big is the land?
It was the whole piece that we all bought together was 50,000 square yards or meters. And my piece is almost 6,000.
Oh, 6,000 square yards.
Yeah.
How does that compare to like acres? Who knows, huh?
I'm not sure. This piece is like 40 meters by 200, or 40 yards wide and 200 down to the river.
Oh, that's it, the piece that you own, the 40 times 200, right?
Yeah.
So that's 120 feet by 600 feet. Yeah, that's a nice piece.
Yeah, it's a nice piece. And I didn't know it when we started cleaning out the lot where we're building the house. But I didn't know. But right to the right, in the next plot, was the biggest mango tree I ever saw in my life.
Oh, really? Wow.
Of course, right next to it is another big one, but not quite. This is like the big elephant, the daddy elephant. It's so big. I cleaned everything out so we have a view of it. It's just, but it brings up the whole subject of food, and I'm being thrown right into food security, meaning it'd be very hard to starve. You can always just live on fruit.
Sure, you could always become a fruitarian pretty easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
are you going to move down to this house and then sell what you've got where you are?
No, we're thinking about renting, putting in Airbnb.
Down there.
Yeah. So if we rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we rent this place, or you know, of course we have a few rooms we couldn't rent out because all our stuff is in it. But then we could always go down to the other place if it's too full. But I'm thinking of local business now. You know, starting to rent out my place because international. I don't know, next few months.
Yeah. Who knows, man.
Who knows?
Who knows?
And that's the big thing.
Yeah, we just don't.
Are people used to functioning in the who knows world?
No, not so much. Yeah. I hear you. And I think it's, you know, it's psychologically and subconsciously stressful for a lot of folks, being uncertain, uncertainty, right?
We certainly know how the restaurant people felt and people work at airports and pilots, and the list goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's just been terrible what's going on. Well, kid, all the best
hotels.
To you. Thank you for being here. And I do commit to helping you this time, and I'm not going to forget. And what we'll do is we'll get with you sometime soon, and our geek can get on your computer through TeamViewer and see if he can figure out why the video stuff cuts out. He's a pretty sharp guy. He's from California. Sharp guy. So we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that. We'll pay for it here because we love you, and we'll get it all fixed up. So next week or next month, you'll be on video. But you did good. Audio is great. Thanks for being here. Tell folks about your website, what they're going to find there if they go visit.
DrCircus.com. That's DrCircus.com. And you'll see, well, at the bottom of the page, you'll see my most recent articles. But basically, you'll see my basic structure of my approach to medicine on the page. You'll see about hydrogen, cancer. My specialty, of course, has always been cancer. I have a course in cancer that can be taken. So you'll see the basic framework of my work on the index page, on the front page. And then you can go to subjects on magnesium, like bicarbonate, iodine, selenium. I stick to the basics of the most necessary things in life.
Yeah, the basics.
Which, of course, bring health, not disease.
All right, sir.
So that's it, Pat. Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to just hang out with you.
Well, thank you. Me too.
My wife gave me special permission today. Well, just go and hang out.
Just to hang out with Patrick and his friends. All right, sir. We love you. Thank you. You take care, and we'll see you next month. But before, I'll contact you through email, and we'll work out. We'll see if we can get you.
Okay,
brother. Thank you. Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network, with Dr. Mark Serkis. Let's put this here. So we'll have this at the end of the video. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk about cancer and a couple other things with Dr. Gerald Smith, who has a new book on cancer. And I think we're going to have somebody else, a couple people I'm working on. I will see you in the morning. I'm here for you. So if there's anything at all that I can help you with, my email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I'm going to try to figure out how the flies are getting in here. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. They've three or four or five, and they just won't go away. And I kill them, and then mark them in. There's got to be a hole somewhere, so I got to find that one. That's my job coming up. So
we are listener-supported. One Radio Network.